And we're rolling. Hello, Claremont. Welcome to yet another episode of Claremont Speaks. I am thrilled because we are now into the second 100 episodes. So I'd like to welcome my guest, Marisa Nicely.
Hello.
To the first of the next 100. Marisa has, and it's Marisa, not Marisa.
Marisa.
Marisa is a famous author, at least here in Claremont. She has written a book called Ezer the Bagel, The Rescue. And it is a fabulous book, a very quick read, but it's a wonderful story about a dog being adopted. But what I really liked was the overall message and the illustrations, especially.
Yes.
I thought were well done.
Amazing.
So Marisa, thank you for coming on Claremont Speaks. Welcome to the Claremont Speaks family. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
Oh, it's my honor and pleasure, and as well as the listeners. We talked a little bit at a recent meeting about your journey to writing a book and all that, and I thought we could start off by having you introduce yourself to the audience. Now, you are from elsewhere, okay?
Yes.
And I thought maybe you could start with your journey to this point from there. Would that be good?
Absolutely. Thank you. Hello, Claremont. Claremont is the love of my life. I love living in Claremont. I was born and raised in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
I'm half Spaniard, half Italian. And I moved to America when I was 14, just beginning high school in 1980.
Oh, so you're still a kid.
Okay. Yeah. Got married very young.
In Argentina?
No, here.
So what drove you to come to the U.S. from Argentina?
My parents, okay. Yeah. We all moved with my two little sisters. I'm the oldest of three. Shortly after that, I met my ex-husband. We were very young. We got married, had two amazing kids. I love my kids. They're both married and live in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here. I've tried Seattle and it just...
Too wet?
Yeah.
Too liberal?
It's
too Canadian?
I'm a California girl. I need the sun.
There you go. Now, did your family leave Argentina due to the, let's say, the Perón program?
No, it was way after that.
Well, I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah, that happened when I was a kid. But no, we came here. You know, sometimes people think that money grows on trees here in America. And I think they just wanted just to try and see what happened. And well, actually, they did very well. But then they moved back. I stayed and continued my life. I became a teacher.
Where was that?
When?
Where?
Oh, where? So we raised our kids in Arcadia. And my kids, that's where they started their schooling when they were little. Yeah, I became a teacher because I wanted to be with my kids always.
So you were a teacher at their school?
I was a teacher at their school. Yeah.
Mom's watching.
Yep.
Be good.
Yep. Yeah. And then they moved on to high school and I stayed in middle school. I worked for many years at Foothill Christian in Glendora.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I started in public school in El Monte, California. I wanted to be with my kids. So I moved on with them. After that, I just started teaching high school. So 34 plus years now. And that's my career has been teaching.
So, but you're a teacher now.
And I'm still a teacher.
Where?
I'm retired from the classroom since COVID, and I started doing my own tutoring, teaching online.
Nice.
So I Zoom 3 times a week, and then the other 2 days, I dedicate them to writing, which is a dream come true for me, because I've always wanted to write. And
there's just never that amount of time.
No, not when you're a teacher.
Oh, and a parent. And this is
right.
And I'm guessing you were a single parent, apparently.
Yeah. No, my kids were grown by the time we divorced. Yeah.
But it's still a lot of work.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But you come home and you're just poured out. And yeah, you have no strength for anything.
Let's do dinner. Let's get them to bed. Let's sit down. Now let's be creative. No, I'm taking a nap.
Yeah. So I basically, retired from the classroom during COVID. And then so now I'm doing Nicely Spanish, nicelyspanish.com.
I've seen Rachel's English, and this is fantastic. A woman named Rachel, she explains English to basically people who are not native English speakers. So when you said you're doing Nicely Spanish, is that the name of the Zoom?
Yeah. It's my last name. Yeah. Nicely Spanish.
But the point is that your target audience is folks that are not native Spanish speakers that are trying to learn.
So my focus is on high school. I teach. So I've developed this 8-week program that covers a full entire academic year. So most of my students are able to do Spanish 1, 2, 3, and 4 in 1 year, which is incredible. And I teach all of the academic requirements of the academic year in 8 weeks. And so...
Now, isn't there... What is it, the Berlitz? That's a language school where they... I think they lock you in a room and beat you over the head with a Spanish book or something. But it's really intense. Is that it?
Berlitz?
No, your program.
Oh, mine.
Well, I don't care about them. I care about you. You're my guest.
My program, it's wonderful. Yeah, because I just figured there's a lot of waste of time in the classroom.
Huge.
And if a student really wants to learn and then they get credit for the high school years, yep. So it's really neat.
They told me about Spanish that what you see, you say.
Yeah. But
the contradiction to that is that I've met folks from Spain and had friends in college from Argentina who have moved out here and think, oh, maybe this isn't the same Spanish that they've learned. Is there a hurdle to get for you and for, say, when your parents came here and all that, to understand the local Spanish?
It was complicated, yeah. So decomplicate. So that's basically how I like my program to run, decomplicate. Good. I always tell my students, my goal for you is that you enjoy the 8 weeks rather than endure.
That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, but to your point, it's a little different. Spain has the lisp.
And that is Castilian, right?
Castilian, yeah. But in Argentina, we sound different than the Central America and other parts of South America as well. We sound like we're speaking Italian when we speak.
Mm.
We have, yeah, a different sound.
Accents and things
like
that.
Yeah.
And you choose different words.
Yeah. Just like we do here with, if an Aussie was to be speaking English, it would be a little different. Yeah.
When I visited Australia, went to visit a company, and they welcomed me with a nice lunch and everything like that. And the owner of the company said, how do you like Australia so far? And I told him, I said, it's super refreshing to at last drive on the correct side of the road and hear the language spoken properly. And they were like, definitely, we like this guy. And I think that's what people like to hear, is the language spoken their way. And so it took a little bit of getting used to for you. Is that right?
Yeah, it was hard at the beginning. And when I got here, all I spoke was the fish is blue, the house is big.
In English, though. But right? I was thinking of the Spanish more, was the differences. I met a couple from Spain, and I had to ask them, where are you guys from? They go, Spain. And I said, okay, I thought that was Spanish. They go, yeah, not the kind you're used to around here.
Right.
And I said, okay, really? Was that hard? And they said, it's nearly impossible. We can't understand.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And they can't understand us. And it's 10% crossover. Yeah. And they said, it's very difficult. Yeah. Okay, good. You made it. Yeah. Well, glad to have you.
It's beautiful. And in fact, Viva, that's always been my place.
Viva Madrid?
Yeah.
The home of my absolute most favorite tapa, the shrimp with the garlic.
Oh, my goodness. Delicious. Yeah.
And the good part is I love it. And the thing is that I sweat garlic for 2 days.
Yeah. True.
I think everybody does. They're like, oh, that was good. Yeah. Well, here it
you
is.
You go
again.
Home and you smell like garlic. Yeah.
So what then was the catalyst? What was the moment of extreme clarity that you said, okay, I'm going to write this book? Well, a lightning bolt hit you or something? I don't know what.
Yeah. Right before the pandemic, it was August, the end of August, the weekend, Labor Day weekend, my old hound, Rocky, had passed away. And it was tough. 15 years with him. He was with me in the toughest time of my life. And he was Claremont's hound. He was
Is that right?
Yeah.
Everybody's friend?
Everybody's friend. Rocky, everybody knew when he was coming. The neighbors just loved him. Rocky passed away and I was miserable. I put my name on the list at the Pomona shelter. And one morning there was a match. And
what is it you were looking for?
I was looking for
Rocky 2.
For Rocky 2. I was looking for Rocky 2. And lo and behold, I found Ezra. And he was just a puppy. Just a puppy. He was 3 months old. And for a Basset mom or for a Basset parent, if somebody says, oh, is that a beagle? It's like an insult for some reason. And when I saw Ezra, he was a Basset, but he was not a Basset. I'm like, anyway, so he was half and half. But in my mind, no, he's a Basset.
And that's what you wanted.
And I wanted a Basset. But I took him because he was just so cute. And then the joke of all my friends in town was, he's half Beagle. He's half Beagle. And I'm like, nope, he's a Basset. And so finally, a friend of mine said, we got to do a DNA. And no, I don't need a DNA. He's a Basset.
The dog doesn't care.
And joke of a town, I finally did a DNA and sure enough, 50-50. And so everybody started calling him the Bagel. Half Basset, half Beagle. Yeah. So
Basset and Beagle make bagels. Right. Having, what is it, J-Lo. Or right. Contract the name that way.
Yeah, that's where the Bagel came from. It was...
I've seen him in person and I've seen him in the book and they look very similar.
That's the amazing illustrator.
And he is cute and he's super friendly. Seeing him in person, I think, is the best because you get a sense of how just chilled out he is. Yeah. He's a service dog now for you. And he goes just about everywhere with
everywhere.
You, right?
Everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. He's in the car with me all the time. Even my license plate is Ezra 282.
But you decided then the book needed to be written.
Yes.
That's what I was after originally.
Right.
So that's how you got the dog. And then you said, okay, was that the lightning bolt that hit you that said, this is the book.
This is it. This is it. So the first book is The Rescue, is the story of Ezra, the adoption, Ezra's adoption, with an incredible message of personal value to the children. I've always been very passionate about helping kids discover their personal value, strengths, and potential. I feel like this series is an opportunity that opened up and I'm going for it. Book two, the text is ready. Priya is working on the illustrations as we speak. The cover is uploaded on the website, ezrathebagel.com. You will see it's Ezra and friends. And so Ezra will be telling the stories about him and his friends, with an incredible message about relationships that we all need. We all need.
You touched on it a second ago. And one of the things I most liked about the book, I did read it.
Thank you.
And as I told you, it didn't take me all that long. But the couple things I really liked about this book, your illustrator did a fabulous job of capturing the look of the dog. But I think really threw a little extra in there, if this is supposed to be you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nicely done.
Yeah, she made me a little bit younger.
That's okay.
I said, take the wrinkles off.
That's okay. Frankly, sitting here across the table with you, they just add care.
Yeah.
But what I really liked about the book is the sense of caring that you show to the dog. And I'll read just at the end of the book here. It says, each day, my mom tells me that I am valuable and loved. And you know what, my friends? It says, so are you. I am valuable whether I'm healthy or sick, and so are you. I am valuable whether I'm rich or poor, and so are you. And it goes on that way.
Yeah.
And I think that all the things in the book aside, if that's the main takeaway from the book,
right.
Well done.
Thank you.
It gets to me a little.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't think there's enough of.
I have a friend that I made through this whole journey. Her name is Dale. She lives at the Pilgrim's Place. Amazing lady. All of a sudden, I look on my emails. There's an email from Dale, and I'm like, who is this? She emailed me through the website and left me a message with her number and said, please call me. She left a number, so I called her. And in tears, she told me that she read the book to a group of patients at the Pilgrim's Place. And that when she read the part, you know, where, so are you. She was very emotional about it. She said, I want to meet you and Ezra. And so I went over there, we met, and of course she bought books, but just the fact that she invited us to come and read.
And these are the residents there?
The residents there, yep. Yeah. Beautiful. And I went over there and we sat outside and said hi to some of the people as they were walking into the cafeteria, and just a lovely time with Dale. And then she came and supported us at the 42nd Street Bagel Cafe.
Well, tell us about that. You said you've done some promotion beyond Pilgrim Place. Now,
yeah.
You said that the 42nd Street Bagel Place. Now, where is that and what was your event?
42nd is on Yale and Bonita.
Right.
Yeah, we teamed up and they have now Ezra, the bagel dog, on the menu. And so they invited...
I'm sorry, do they have just the picture or do they have Ezra the bagel dog as a menu choice?
Yes, as a menu choice.
That's what I wanted to get to.
Yes.
So it's like we're having a bagel dog.
Yeah, we're having an Ezra the bagel dog. We should all go over there and support the locals and have an Ezra the bagel dog. Amazing people. Kathy is the manager there and she is the sweetest. She had us there a couple of the days, just about a week or so ago. So we went, we had book signing and Ezra was there and we did great. We did great. It was
so very cool.
Wonderful.
And now are you on Amazon as well?
Yes. Amazon and all of the major bookstores. Everything is on the website. Yep. You can just go on the website, EzraTheBagel.com, and you can choose where to get the book from.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
So over at the library here, they have a children's book reading. Is this one of those?
I am working on that.
I only say that because about every other week I go to the Claremont City Council open comment, right?
Yeah.
And people come up and they have all these issues like the trees, the sidewalk, whatever it is. And the reason I go there is because it's 4 minutes of say whatever you want. So I talk about the podcast.
Right.
Usually right after me or before me is the lady from the library talking about what's going on at the library.
Yeah.
And so the library lady talks about the children's reading group, I guess it is. And it sounds like just the right place for a book like this.
Absolutely. She did take our book and she said, I will put it in the locals department or area she has there. And then hopefully she will invite us to do story time. We've been invited to several schools this month. And also we did story time at the Trinity Children's Foundation of America. I always get it wrong for some reason backwards. It's my Spanish thing.
All right. You got it. Everybody's got to be different.
Anyway, so.
That's funny that you're still hesitating with that after all this time.
Yeah. I can't even do math in English. I have to do it in my head in Spanish.
So you're still at times translating?
Yeah. If I spend too much time in Spanish, then my brain just goes the Spanish way. And if I go to Sprouts, for example, after a class, gracias. Oh, sí.
It just becomes second nature.
I'm like, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
No, I just wondered. I think it's a huge skill set to be able to flip back forth.
Yeah.
And that people, I don't understand anybody that diminishes somebody who has an accent or has a different language as a first language. It's like, they speak too. I went through extraordinary troubles trying to speak a little of any other than English.
You need a good teacher.
Well, that's right. Is there a Spanish version of Ezra the Bagel?
Absolutely. It's coming.
Oh, it's coming.
It's coming. And the Spanish version and the audio as well.
All right, so you're going to read this as an audiobook?
Yes.
In both languages?
In both languages. My cousin, she's from Argentina and she lives in Argentina. It's actually, that's her career. She does voice. She has an amazing voice. So she's going to end up doing the audio.
When that's ready, let's do some samples.
Okay.
Now, is that going to be it? Because it's not such a long book. Would you think to have this in a dozen languages?
Well,
it's not easy. I'm just asking what your plans are. I'm not telling you what to do.
I think Spanish will be it.
Okay. Up to you.
Yeah.
But it seems like such a nice book and with such a wonderful message.
Right.
It would be just a shame to cheat anybody out of it.
Maybe I'll find someone that does Chinese, since English, Spanish, and Chinese are the three main languages in the world.
That's right. But now, and then, of course, you have to be careful of which kind of Chinese. And I've learned that the crossover between different dialects is very little. That it's almost easier for the folks to speak in English because that's more common to everybody.
Oh, okay.
That happens in India as well, that there's 800 different dialects and nobody can understand anybody. So that's why they speak English and Hindi. So very good. You have another book coming up.
Yes.
About ready to be printed. And it's in illustration right now.
It's an illustration right now.
Okay. What's the target date for that?
We're hoping by Valentine's because it is a friendships book.
How clever.
So we'll see. We'll see if we meet the deadline there.
Then I'm going to ask you to come on again that time to talk about it then.
Yeah, for sure the spring.
All right. But Valentine's Day, if it works out.
Hopefully, yeah.
Well, very cool. So let me ask you this. If you had to say what would be the number one thing you'd like people to remember from the time they've listened to us here, what would that be?
The message, I would say the message that the series carries. That's the thing that I want the parents to know and to get from this. The kids that I've read the story to, especially with Ezra, but the messages that this series has. It's basically life skills that really matter. The message of how to do a relationship, a message of purpose and courage and self-worth, the first one.
And that was the part I liked about this. The last page says, I am valuable simply because there's no one else like me. I'm one of a kind. I am loved, and so are you. And that, to me, is a message that
every child needs to hear. And every adult.
Most adults.
And everyone.
Certainly every child. Okay. And then the second thing is that what would you like now that you, people have listened this far, what would you like them to do besides go buy the book? We get that.
I would love to continue to go to schools and be able to do story time with Ezra. The schools that we've been to so far, it's just been amazing, amazing just to see the kids.
React.
Yes. And just on my heart, just when I was at that party with the Children's Foundation of America, they have foster kids. And Ezra and I were sitting there and just looking at their faces and having them when they say, I'm one of a kind, because I have them do that at the end. I'm one of a kind. And then they point at their friends and say, and so are you. And it's just priceless.
And they get the message.
And they do.
So what you'd like people to do is invite you to come read.
Yes.
At their schools, at their events or what have you. One of my other guests has been Anne Thorward. She is the president now of the Newcomers Access Center, where people come in from other countries and they help them acclimate. But of course, English and reading is part of it. And one of the things is that, of course, they bring their kids. I would think a story like this would be a wonderful introduction to someone who just left, say, Afghanistan or Ukraine,
right,
where things are horrible, that something like this would provide an uplift you probably couldn't get anywhere else.
Right.
Good. Now, you're free to call her. And Anne, if you're out there, please don't hesitate. So then and that's the perfect segue to the final part of the program here is what I call shameless self-promotion. You need to tell the listeners where to find you, what's your phone number, what's your email address, what's your website. I know you mentioned all that, but let's get it all out at once. And how to get your books and how to have you for appearances. You tell me.
So ways to support us would be get familiar with our website, ezerdebagel.com. That's Ezer, E-Z-E-R, by the way, that has a meaning, but you have to get the book to find out.
You really have to read the whole book. We can't spill the whole thing
right here,
as it is.
So Ezer, E-Z-E-R, thebagel.com. And then Instagram, Ezer's Instagram is at thebagel. And our email would be hello@ezerthebagel.com.
And where are you appearing next? So that somebody wants to come and see you.
Oh, yes. We will be.
See, I'm good at this.
Yes, you are. Thank you.
You're going to skip right?
I'm a teacher and I'm learning to be a businesswoman. It's in the works.
You're doing great. No, so do you have appearances coming up where people can come see you?
We are going to be at Sycamore Elementary School in Claremont this Wednesday. It's a big thing that they have going on. They have different people that they have, and we will be there. Ezra and I will be there, and we're excited about Sycamore because in the book there is a landmark, and I'm not going to say what it is, but it belongs to Sycamore School because that is Ezra's first place he's ever gone to run around and play with his friends. I'm not going to say anymore. You need to find out.
You discover it yourself. I'll put all those things in the show notes for people to click on and go straight to your website. Marissa, your last name speaks more than just a name. Nicely is perfectly descriptive of how you came to ask me to come on the program. And I hope I've been just as well nicely in return having you here. I think everybody else will think the same. You've done really very well. And I hope you weren't too nervous, smooth that out right away.
You did. Thank you.
Marissa, thank you for coming on Claremont Speaks. I think this is a perfect kickoff to the next 100 episodes. And thank you, Claremont, for listening. And I hope you'll be here next time when Claremont Speaks.
Yay, Claremont.
That's right. And so there we go.
Thank you.